Hello again, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Currently going through the book of John, the Gospel of John. And as I speak, I am opening my Bible to John chapter 4. And we're going to pick it up right where we left off, which we usually do. John chapter 4. Verse 27 is where we'll begin today. So get your Bible, open it up to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. The Scripture Verse by Verse website is a very important website. I believe a very valuable website because it's all about the Word of God from start to finish. That's it, nothing else. The sufficient, the all-sufficient Word of Almighty God is taught there by me, verse by verse, which I've been doing now, as I've mentioned in the past, for well over 30 years, teaching it verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. And it's archived for you. Three complete series going through the Bible at thebibleversebyverse.com. All you need to bring is your Bible. Everything else is there. Just click and listen and study the Word of God with me at your pace, at your convenience. One more time, that is at thebibleversebyverse.com. Okay, John chapter 4, verse 27. Jesus has been talking to a woman, which was very unusual, as we will see, in public. And a Samaritan woman, which was extremely unusual, unheard of for a Jewish man or a Jewish person to talk to a Samaritan because there was such enmity between those two groups. But Jesus was on a mission to reach out to this woman who was lost and on her way to hell, living in sin, living in sexual immorality. So he's talking to her. His disciples are gone away into town to get food. But notice in 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" The Bible does not say that a rabbi can't talk with a woman in public. The Bible does not say that a teacher or a man cannot talk with a woman in public. But it was a religious and a social rule that said that you couldn't back in those days. Jesus, as usual, ignored man-made rules whenever they would conflict with the Word of God. And he ignored that rule here. He was more interested in saving this woman's soul than observing a social custom. But he sure did shock his disciples when they returned and saw what was going on. Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. Just stop there for a second. That water had been such a big deal to her. I mean, it was the women's job, as a rule, to collect the water. Every day, to go to the well, city well or whatever, and collect the water for her family. So she was doing that. It was an important job. And this water had been such a big deal to this woman. But all of a sudden, it has become a small thing. She has met the Son of God. She has met somebody who knew all about her, even though he never met her before. And everything seems small once you've experienced the Son of God. So she drops her water pot. And she goes. That thing that had been so important to her didn't mean much now. Knowing Christ makes everything else seem pretty small. Knowing Christ puts everything in life into the proper perspective. Verse 29, she says this. She goes and she talks to the men of the city. That's what the Bible said. And then she says, this is what she says to them. 29, come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? So Jesus told this woman all about her past life, how she had had five husbands, how she was now committing fornication, possibly living with a woman, but she was committing sexual sin. That was certainly the implication of Jesus' words. Told this woman all about her past life. And he could do that because he's God. And as God, he knew everything about everything and everything about everyone. And he does know everything about everything and everything about all of us. God sees you inside and out, just like he saw this woman inside and out. He knew her, every speck of her being, all of her behavior, even what was going on in her mind. And he knows you that way too. And he knows me that way. You know that God knows every single detail of our life. He knows us better than we know us. He knows every single detail about us. The good, the bad, the good motives, the bad motives, the good actions, the good words, the bad actions, the bad words, you name it, right down to the smallest detail. And amazingly, he still loves us. How about that? And he still wants us to be his child. And he still wants us to be with him forever and ever. And he still wants us to say, Jesus, take control of my life. Let me live the way you want me to live and save me from hell. He still wants that. And he still wants us, even though he knows us, flaws and all. Just like he knew this woman, knew everything about her. Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. The men of the city listened to what the woman told them concerning Christ. And as a result, they came to check Christ out for themselves. They weren't going to just take her word for it. Which is an important lesson for us. Every single one of us, every person must care about their soul enough to check out what Jesus Christ, what the Bible has to say, what God has to say for themselves. Don't leave it up to someone else and just take their word for it. This is your immortal soul at stake. And you are accountable for it. And if somebody leads you astray, if somebody is teaching you or watering down the Word of God and leading you astray, and you're just comfortable with it, and so you go along without really checking to see if what they're saying is in the Word of God, if they're leaving something out, if they're holding something back, you are accountable for that and the ramifications that it will have on your life and the life of others. You are responsible for you. Check out what God has to say for himself. I want you to measure everything I say by the Word of God. And the reason I started Coffee Break Q&A is to give you an opportunity to ask questions about the things that, you know, questions that might have come up as we study the Word of God together. I don't want to leave any stone unturned. I mean, I want to clarify what the Word of God says and what it means by what it says, and maybe what I meant by what I said, because I'm not always the clearest speaker. I get that. And it's important for you to know the truth, and it's important for you to dig into it. That separates true disciples from just the superficial hearers who may hear the Word of God superficially and go on their merry way. You want to be that kind of person? You're way too much at stake for being like that. And there is no hope for anyone who doesn't care enough about God or themselves, for that matter, to check and see what Jesus and the Word of God have to say about everything. About getting forgiveness. About avoiding hell. You know, the Bible says everyone must carry their own burden. Everyone must carry their own load. 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples besought him, saying, "Master, eat." They brought supper from town. Remember, they went into town to get the food? So they brought supper from town, and they want Jesus to enjoy it. And verse 32. But he said unto them, "I have food to eat that ye know not of." Jesus says, "You're giving me food, but I have food. I've got some food. I have a type of food that you guys don't even know exists." 33. Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him anything to eat?" They're thinking, how in the world did Jesus get food way out here in the middle of nowhere? See, it's just like the woman at the well that went into town that Jesus had been talking to and we saw last broadcast. Jesus talking to her about living water, which was eternal life, spiritual things, eternal things, and her mind is on that well water that she came to fetch. And he's trying to get her to make the jump from the physical to the eternal. He finally did, got through to her. It's so easy for human beings to focus on material things, on this material world that we live in. And granted, we need things to exist, but they should not be our focus. God should still be our focus, and doing what he wants in our spiritual life should be the most important thing. That's where our focus should be. Colossians 3:1 says, "Set your affections on things above, not on things below." So, the disciples, you know, like the woman at the well, they're on a different frequency from Jesus. Verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, "My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." So Jesus wasn't talking about hamburgers and french fries or any other kind of literal food. When he said, "I've got some food that you don't even know of," he wasn't talking about a side of beef or vegetables. He was talking about food for the soul. Good comparison. Good food satisfies. And Jesus is saying, "I've been doing something that really satisfies. I've been talking to a lady about how to save her soul and how to be right with God." And Jesus was saying, "That satisfies me like a Thanksgiving meal." Many things are important. Many things are enjoyable. But nothing is as important and nothing is as enjoyable as living for God and being right with God or being used by God. That's really a thrill. Or serving others, which is being used by God, being kind to others, which is being used by God, And above all, sharing the Word of God with others, either personally or by giving to ministries that teach the Word of God. There is nothing more enjoyable, nothing more rewarding, nothing more important that a Christian can do than to serve God. 35. Let's read 34 along with it. Jesus saith unto them, my food, the thing that really satisfies me, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What satisfies you the most as a Christian? Is it seeing your favorite team win a football game? Is it, any number of things in this world? Anything? There's a lot of ways to enjoy life. But if you're right with God, if your heart is where it belongs, and you are sold out to Jesus Christ, and you're close to him like you should be, you're going to get more of a thrill, more peace, more enjoyment out of serving Jesus Christ, out of spending time with Jesus, than anything else that you can experience in this world. That's not being radical. That's being like Jesus. That's exactly what he was saying here. And Paul, too, he said, for me to live is Christ. What do you think he meant by that? Exactly what I'm saying. For me to live is Christ. It's all about Jesus, and to die is gain. And Jesus said, my food, the thing that satisfies me, is to do the will of God. So again, many things are important. Nothing more important than living for God, fellowshipping with God, being used by God. 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Jesus is saying there are a lot of souls in this world who are ripe and ready to be picked for God. You say, well, what in the world does he mean by that? How are souls picked? Very simply, you give them the Word of God. You pick them by giving them the pure, unwatered down, straight Word of God. That's how you harvest souls. Those of you who support this ministry with your prayers and financial support, which I say after every broadcast, I know, I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination, never have been in over 30 years. But those of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me are harvesting souls. You are helping to give people the Word of God. I think just about every broadcast, I tell people to repent and to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You can do that yourself. You can help me do that. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them what Jesus did for you. That's witnessing for Christ. You don't have to go to school to become a witness for Christ. You don't have to take a class. You don't have to work out a workbook in Sunday school for 16 weeks to figure that out. It's not that hard. You tell people what Jesus Christ has done for us. Tell them about Jesus dying on the cross. Tell them. Just tell them. If people do not hear the Word of God, that's up to them. If they don't respond positively to what you say and they continue to reject the Word of God concerning Jesus Christ, you know what they're going to be like? They're going to be like some ripe fruit or ripe crops that aren't picked and rot in the ground. That's why I do not pull any punches when it comes to proclaiming the Word of God. I don't do it because it's popular, because it isn't. I don't proclaim the pure word of God straight because it's a popular thing to do. It's not a popular thing to do. I do it because it's what Jesus Christ wants me to do and wants us to do, wants every preacher to do and every Bible teacher to do. That's why I do it. Because He's my Lord, He's my boss, He's my God, He's my brother, He's my creator, He's my sustainer, He's my judge, He's my savior. That's why I do it the way He wants me to do it, to the best of my God-given ability. I don't see any sense in doing it any other way. I don't see any sense in trying to please sinners or lukewarm Christians. I don't see any sense in doing that. If that makes sense to you, man, you and I are totally different. Worse yet, for you, you and God are totally different. I do it because it's what Jesus wants. And I'll tell you something else. I do it for the sake of the souls out there who are ripe for the harvest, who are ready to be saved. If someone will just please tell them what to do by giving them the pure word of God. I'll share a little story with you concerning myself. 39 years ago, I was one of those lost souls, ripe for the harvest, absolutely ripe for the harvest. There was a battle going on for my soul in my mind. I am telling you, it was a tug of war between the devil and the Holy Spirit. I knew I was a sinner. I knew deep down inside that I needed Jesus or I was going to go to hell for sure. I knew I needed to repent. I knew that because I had heard the word of God off and on for several years. And yet there's a strong voice contending for my soul inside of my mind. I'm not kidding you. Ah, you're not a sinner. You don't need Jesus, trying to convince me that I was okay. I'm not kidding you. That's what was going on in my mind. It was torment. I wanted a preacher to proclaim the pure word of God. I needed a shot of God's word spoken with authority. I needed it. I wanted it. I can't explain to you why I didn't just fall on my knees and do it. All I can say is there was a battle going on in my mind, okay? I can't explain it. I'm just telling you the truth. I felt that I just needed somebody to get in my face with the word of God and proclaim it with power. So I did something that I never thought I would do in my entire life. I went to a church, a Baptist church. Never been to a Baptist church in my life. All I knew about Baptists was they believed the Bible. That was enough to keep me away. But I went to this Baptist church because I was so stressed out. I was so in need of somebody to give me the pure word of God, to push me over the edge. I can still remember it. It was downtown. I can remember walking through the streets, going into that church, sitting in that pew, and just ready, listening so carefully, so hungry for something that would push me over the edge to Jesus. And I sat and I listened to a mild-mannered teacher deliver a mild-mannered sermon. It did nothing for me. Nothing. I remember walking out of that church. It was a sunny Sunday morning. And I was so frustrated. So frustrated. Because I was expecting God to do something there. So I went on my merry way, living in this spiritual battle, until one day I turned on the radio. And I listened to a preacher who was a straightforward preacher, and he nailed me right between the eyes with the word of God and the reality of hell and the need of repentance. And I got on my knees in my garage in the night and ask Jesus Christ to save my soul from hell. That is what I needed. The straightforward word of God. I'm telling you, man, you don't do anybody any favors by watering down the word of God. You are leaving a lot of potential souls who are ripe for the harvest to rot in the field with your lukewarmness. And why in the world any Christian would support modern evangelicals who water down the word, who give you just a little smidgen of God's word mixed in with coolness and worldliness and ha-ha, hee-hee, aren't we cute? That's beyond me. That is beyond me. Shame on you if you're a preacher who does that. And shame on you if you're a quote-unquote Christian who supports jokers like that. What about Jesus? That's all I have to say to you. What about Jesus? Look, notice what he says. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And here is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that on which you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Jesus is saying, God is going to repay you. He wants you to know that. God is going to repay you for helping to get out the pure word of God, that souls can be saved, that the saved can be sanctified. God is going to reward you for doing that. You'll get your wages. God will pay you. You say, what do I get? A new house? I know, a new car. I know, I can name it and claim it, right? That's it. Nah, that's a bunch of baloney. You support those guys, you got scrambled eggs for brains. You got rocks in your heads, in your head. They are liars. They don't care about anything except money. That's all they always talk about is money. Money, money, money. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And they can put any kind of spin on it that they want. Money is their God, and God says, you cannot serve God and money. You'll get your wages. God will pay you with joy. God will pay you with satisfaction that you couldn't experience any other way. God will pay you with eternal rewards of some kind in addition to your salvation, which is a gift. He's going to give you an eternal reward. Say, Moret, what's it going to be? I have no idea. But can't you trust Jesus with it? You'll get paid. Guarantee you. And you get paid more than what you're worth. Me too. How about that? There's nothing like living for Jesus. And there's nothing like doing what he wants to do. And what he really wants us to do is get out his word. So let's do it together. And it begins by you studying, which is what you did today with me. And that's wonderful. But don't stop now. A lot of you people have a lot of time on your hands, right? You can go to the Scripture Verse by Verse website and study all day if you want to. Begin in Genesis, go through the book of Revelation, study it one verse at a time using my audio Bible messages. Some of you don't have that much time. You got families, you know, you're working a job, you outside the home, you got a husband, you got a wife, you got families, you got so many things on the plate, but you got to make time for the Word of God. And you can study at your pace, at your convenience, at the Scripture Verse by Verse website, again, which is found at the BibleVerseByVerse.com. And please do remember, this is a faith ministry. I've never been underwritten by a large church or denomination. I depend on people like you who truly love God's word to pray for me and also to support this ministry. Let's get out the word of God together. Click the donate button at the top of the front page at the BibleVerseByVerse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. Thank you for spending this time with me. You having a good time in John? I sure am. I'll see you next time. So long, everyone.